Does the audience wish filmmakers would be more daring and push boundaries even further than they do today?
That's what you can gain more insight into in this episode of the special five-part edition of The Claim, an audience-focused podcast by the research and strategy company Publicom, developed in collaboration with EFM. In each episode, we invite international industry professionals on stage at Berlinale 2026 to discuss a series of claims about the audience based on insights from audience research from more than 150 films and TV series.
And in this episode, we are joined by Kjersti Moe, CEO of the Norwegian Film Institute, and Helge Albers, CEO of Moin, the film fund of Hamburg-Schleswig-Holstein.
My name is Niels Alberg, and I'm co-hosting with my colleague, Rikke Flodin.
Hi.
We are both part of the managing team at Publicom. So now it's just time to hear what Helge Albers and Kjersti Moe had to say when we took the stage in Berlin to present the claim that the audience is actually looking for film that goes further than what we offer today. We hope that you'll enjoy the conversation. Today we are joined by Kjersti Moe, who's the CEO of the Norwegian Film Institute, and Helge Albers, who's the CEO of the Hamburg-based regional fund Moin. So welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Hi. Let's get started with the first claim here. We have a claim about the audience that we consider to be valid, based on more than 5 years of research involving more than 5,000 qualitative audience responses, millions of online conversations relevant to film and TV productions, and surveys from thousands of viewers. And I'll now hand over to Rikke Flodin, who will present today's audience claim. And right after that, we are very curious to hear your reaction, if you agree, disagree, and bring new perspective. But let's hear what the claim is.
Thank you. But before I dive into the claim, I want to share with you a quote from an audience participant from one of our research projects. So this young person states, "While European cinema is often associated with introspective, character-driven stories, I am particularly interested in seeing it push boundaries and experiment with unconventional genres, contemporary social issues, and innovative narrative styles." So this is a quote we think sets the scenes pretty well for today's claim, which is that the audience wish we would go further. So this claim is really about how far we dare to go emotionally and narratively to keep the audience engaged and intrigued. What we see today is an audience that is extremely fluent in film and series storytelling. They watch a lot. They recognize patterns quickly, and they come in with strong expectations. As a result, it's becoming harder to genuinely surprise them or to provoke a reaction that feels earned and lasting. We see this very clearly in the audience research that we do. Often we share only the first 20 pages of a script, and filmmakers often assume that the major turns and surprises are still well hidden. But in many cases, especially with the younger audiences, we see that people can already predict most of what's coming. And even when they can't, they often express a desire for something that's bolder, more unexpected, or more emotionally intense than what the story currently offers. From our survey based on 800 responses that we did for this occasion, we learned that 73% express that movies often play it too safe, and they wish the films would take even bigger creative risks. For the audience, reaction is everything. And what we consistently learn is that there is a bigger risk in boredom rather than going too far. Too often, stories pull back just at the moment where the audience is actually ready for the film to go further. This becomes especially clear when dealing with difficult or heavy themes. Audiences are not afraid of complexity or discomfort. What helps them engage is not simplification, but framing. When challenging topics are placed in a slightly unfamiliar setting, we see that it's easier for them to reflect, feel, and engage more openly with the ideas and emotions of the story. In other words, going further doesn't necessarily mean being louder or more extreme. It often means trusting the audience more, trusting their emotional readiness, their narrative literacy, and their willingness to meet the story where it dares to go.
So, that's the claim. The audience wishes us to go further, and with us, of course, it's the industry at large. So, what do you think? Kjersti, is it right or wrong?
I think that audience is braver than the funders. So it's an important message for us, obviously. That's my first reaction.
First of all, I think it's a provocation, that phrase. So I feel provoked. That phrase hits me where I live. And I totally see that. I love that we would go further, and I love to see films in our application universe that push the 11 envelope and go further. That said, I'm not so sure that this claim goes for all the audiences. So I think the interesting part of the discussion lies in within differentiation. I'm absolutely sure there are audiences that would like us to go further. And I think it's part of our responsibility to push further and to allow for films that go further. At the same time, there are audiences, I feel, who are just about fine with watching films that are fulfilling a certain expectation and that find them where they already are. And that's fine as well. So we need to be a little bit more differentiated about what we actually mean when we say the audience.
Yeah, okay. So it's a good point. And you had a reflection to that. Yes,
I don't believe in provocation as a strategy. I think it needs to be the artistic courage that drives it. But as funders, we can also facilitate for them to dare to go further, because I think playing safe is the opposite of what we really need now, because we have all these productions coming from the streamers that is made for you to be able to watch the second screen at the same time. And we need to be something different than that. And therefore making the space for the artistic, ambitious projects. But I don't think that provocation itself should be the goal. I think we need to make the space for being more daring, maybe on the emotional side, not by shock, and tell the stories that really matters the most. Because, I mean, reality these days is crazy. So how can fiction go beyond that? And then you need to be really bold. So it's not the provocation, but to keep the interest and also to make sure that European cinema still is interesting and complex enough to be an alternative to this mass that we compete with.
You also said maybe it depends on which audience it is, but maybe it also depends a bit about the genre sometimes. And as Rege said, we find often that audience are pretty open to be provoked or to deal with challenging topics, but maybe sometimes they're just presented in context that seems a bit too familiar to them. So one of the other points is also maybe trying to work with provocation or difficult topics, but do it in more elevated or different environments than you're used to. Is that a way that you can see forward also for European films to experiment a little bit more with the setting?
Hopefully. I mean, as Kjersti said, so we really need to move forward. We need to understand where the extra mile is. So when we look at projects, I'm very interested to see where a filmmaker project stretches itself and goes to a place that I maybe haven't seen, or the jury who looks at projects maybe hasn't seen done in a particular way. I mean, many things have been done and so on, so there's nothing new under the sun, we know that. And still, there's always new ways to go about in filmmaking, in grammar and so on. So to look for these projects, that's a big part of our role, I feel.
But I would guess that the go further is also about going further into the psychological and emotional perspectives, not only the obvious, but also it could be the artistic, the visual style, and also the topics that we actually cover. So, I mean, there is many ways to go further, and not specifically by splatters.
No, and that's actually a very nice bridge into the next element we would like to introduce, because as we said in the beginning, this comes from a lot of experiences with a lot of qualitative data, but we also tried to test this with 800 people. So we gave a few questions to bring also a few numbers today.
So now you're going to show us if we were wrong or something?
Yeah. No, it's actually just a really nice nuances to what you just said, Kjersti, because we gave this one question here to the audience. 800 people almost replied. And the question was, in your opinion, where do you think European films has the greatest potential for improvement? And they could select an answer by exploring new way and different themes beyond what European films are typically known for. So these a lot about the themes. And that is where the majority actually gave their vote. 39% said, yes, this is what I think. Close, but not quite up there. 34% said, yes, I believe in by improving the complexity and quality of the story. So this is not the narrative. And then it was a character. As number three, 19% said, yes, I think by improving the complexity and quality of the characters. But you brought it up already. It can also be other perspectives. It could be the style. It could maybe even be the marketing also sometimes that we find that the people are open to complicated stories, but simply they don't know how they should enter them because the invitation and the marketing is complicated. But let's start with the numbers. What are the reactions to that people are actually pointing at the themes?
Interesting. That's my first reaction. So
surprised as well?
No, not really surprised. I'm also a bit desperate because obviously it speaks to that there are recurring themes and there's too often, too many times themes that audiences feel they have seen before and they know, and that's not great news. So I guess my role is also to listen and to see and to take away. So obviously, that's something to take into account and to give that a greater importance in looking at projects, and specifically if themes seem to be as monothematic as it appears, we have to go about it and look into it.
I think this is quite good news. That probably means that the audience is open to see films about topics we very rarely see at the big screen. So my choice is to see this as good news. Yeah.
Yeah. You also said something about aesthetics. Yeah. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
No, I was just, as I talked about the projects made for the streamers, made for the second screen watchers. I mean, the cinemas can do something else and to really use the format for something that is remarkably different from what we see all the time on the smaller screens. I think that is also, of course, we already do it, but I mean, it's there are a lot of opportunities that we probably could go and be more daring to dive into also. So not be too scared of using the strengths of the format.
Are you currently supporting other formats that are new or smaller screens or more challenging in a way? Or
we support drama series and computer games, and we have a very few more hybrid formats, but not a lot of projects at the time. No, but of computer games, obviously, but not the hybrids. No. Maybe, I think, two coming, yeah.
Do you think it's a relevant comparison to think about what people are watching on their phones all the time? I know that film is very much in focus for both of you, but as you also said in the beginning, people have a habit for streaming, of course, but they also do have, of course, a strong habit for watching content online on the phone. And I know content is a difficult word sometimes, but I wonder if it's so different in the mind of the audience. And do you think in general that the industry is set to fill a role in a landscape where people really spend a lot of time on narratives that sometimes are just 5 or 6 seconds?
It's a challenge. And I mean, what we really are up against is that we need to fill the space with something else, so that nothing is, so we don't use the cinema for the same as we use the smaller screen. It needs to be a difference, and for us who fund different projects, it's not about making everything the same. That then the point would be really
zero. So I think using the big screen for what it's best at, and then we have the other screens, but you're not supposed to use the smaller screen into the cinema. No.
No, I mean, we have to make a clear distinction between content consumption on one hand and experience on the other hand. So if we look at theatrical movies, we have to think about experience, and we have to understand that we are competing rather with sports, restaurant visits, anything that people are, that is site specific, that people are turning towards to really invest their lifetime. This is what a film has to compensate for somehow and be valuable enough to invest lifetime in. And that's something quite different from consuming content on your small screen, which has to fulfill a different need and has to work in a different way, therefore. So, and we have to respect those two worlds, each in their own way, I think.
Sure. But what about the content that you're exposed to? It might be different purposes, but a lot of content, now we're talking about going across borders and pushing borders a little bit more, can be more challenging and also, of course, not moderated in the same way that you will expect if you go into the cinema. Do you think that we need to adapt a little bit also to the type of content, not only to the purpose that it served, but what people are getting used to? Rikke spoke about the data literacy, the film literacy. People develop a very strong language for films to understand narratives very fresh in a way. And do you think that the industry is set now to follow that new way of telling stories?
Chicken and egg theme, I think. I mean, film literacy comes with watching films, and the more films the more we manage to motivate people to step over the line and go into the cinema, the more literacy will be there, the more attachment to the medium will be there. And on the flip side, the more audience will be there for filmmakers to place their themes and to tell their stories. So in that sense, what Kjersti had said, to look at the demand by audiences about themes and different themes, that should be read as an invitation for filmmakers to explore themes and to explore what the space has to offer. And in that sense, if that inspires literacy, again, that's a self-fulfilling or a system that sort of works in itself, hopefully.
Can I just add that looking into the future audiences, children today and the young audiences, their film literacy starts with the shorter formats. So that's how they would define what a film is to them. That always starts in that definition. So definitely worth taking into consideration as well.
Yes, but at the same time, we see at least among the young audience in our country, we see that they are more interested in the longer formats and going to the cinema. And it's about also putting their phone away and seeing the classics. So, I mean, and they are young enough to have been growing up with the phone in their parents' hand, at least, if not in their own. So, I mean, we still have to believe in the quality and the difference that a real film is compared to the smaller and shorter formats. And they can live side by side, but I also think that they are very well educated in the shorter formats, and then they see this as an alternative and something else that they are also interested in. And we have to accept that these formats live side by side, but they are different things. And I think for us as funders and as an industry at all, we need to make it possible to go really into depth also, because we will, as a human species, we will be very in trouble if we only have 20 seconds attention span.
Talking about 20 seconds, sorry, because I'm actually also the person with the responsibility for our strict schedule here. So we have to move a little further because we only have a few minutes left, because we spent almost 20 minutes. Crazy how time flies. And we want to share the last piece with you, because we also ask for boredom. And we had this question where we asked the audience, to what extent do you agree or disagree with the following statement? I am more concerned about getting bored watching a European film than about my personal boundaries being crossed watching it. And the answer here is pretty clear. 62% said that they largely agree. Only 28% said they largely disagree. So the number is more than twice the size of those who are disagreeing here. So just short and sweet in the end here, because we are overstepping time very soon. I wonder, if is this a conversation ever that you have as a film founder, the balance between going too far and actually boring people? Is that a conversation when you select projects?
It's rarely that we discuss about going too far. I mean, the point that we have a project on the table and that project is going too far, I have to look far and wide to see that. So I wish there would be more. I'm also seeing from that question and from that chart that European film has an image problem. Yeah. Obviously, if you have to, if there's a general consensus that you're in the danger of being bored watching a European film, there's an image problem about European cinema, and that's maybe something to look into. Because we as people who are watching a lot of films, we find our films within European cinema that challenge us. But obviously, there's a lot of them, and maybe they're just not being found. So visibility of European cinema that stands out is something to look into.
Good point. Yeah. Any last reflection from you, Kjersti? Or should we move to the last part here? Let's move to the last part, yeah, because we've come to the end of this. But before we close down, we gave you guys a lot of questions, and now it's time to take some back. All the guests that we will invite for these next 5 days, going to be 11 in total, will be asked for the option to actually give a question back to the audience, because once we go back to Denmark, we will run a new service asking 1,000 audience a question that comes from the panel, and we prep you guys a little bit on this. So we would ask you to give us one question that you would like us to ask the audience.
Well, I can follow up on this one. Are there any topics at all that is not suitable for European cinema? Can we do anything? And would the audience actually give us an applause?
To test where the limit is. Yeah, thank you. Very good question. Yeah. It's on your wish list.
My question to the audience would be, there's a notion within the German industry, but I also think within the larger European industry, that there's too many films about. And there's different opinions and different views on that topic. I would like to ask the audience, and I would like to know, dear audience, are there actually too many films in the cinemas, and are you confused? I would like to know.
Are you local films or films in general?
That is never being really specified, because the general notion is there's just too much out there and the audiences aren't confused and can't really find orientation, and that's a problem. So one solution would be to cut down. Other solutions would be to just accept it and say, well, there's thousands of books out there, so that works. Why wouldn't it work for films, etc.? So there's different opinions, and that's a discussion we are largely having within the industry. Let's ask the audience.
Good point. We will. And we will come out with the answer and 9 others very shortly, so stay tuned for that. Then only thank you so much for showing up, Kjersti and Helge, and thank you for those listening today.
Thank you.
This podcast is a part of a 5-episode series produced in collaboration with EFM. The series will be released shortly after Berlinale on both the EFM platform and our own website. So if you are curious to hear more about industry professionals' response to additional audience claims, please look out for the series once it becomes available.